Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 69, learning to leave overwhelming injustices for God to handle. A believer can be wronged in such an overwhelmingly bad and painful way that he himself cannot handle it. Often that happens in the angelic conflict. Satan, when he attacks, sometimes he will attack with everything in order to bowl the person over. Well, Psalm 69 has a lesson on this matter, so we view it for our insight and our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the indwelling Spirit of God, who is our helper, the one who teaches us all things, and who brings to remembrance the things that we've read before and been exposed to before, and also the one who equips us to live a life that is righteous and loving and kind. Thank You, Father, for the opportunity of being able to gather this morning. We ask that we would utilize the resources, the spiritual resources that we have at our disposal, that we might indeed live the Word of God, understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read it in the King James Version first, and then we'll look at it. It's 36 verses in the English, and there are actually 37 in the Hebrew text. Anyway, save me, O God, for Thy waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies, wrongfully or mighty. Then I restored that which I did not take away. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee. Let not them that wait on Thee, O Lord of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek Thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for Thy sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my own brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of Thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached Thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gates speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto Thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of Thy mercy, hear me in the truth of Thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. And not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth over me. Hear me, O Lord, for Thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. And hide not Thy face from Thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before Thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. I looked for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me my vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not. Make their loins continually to shake. Pour out Thine indignation upon them, and let Thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom Thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom Thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come unto Thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let Thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves therein. For For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Okay, the introductory remarks in the English Bible comprise the first verse of the Hebrew text, so we stay with the numbering system in the English Bible for clarity with this lesson. And then we're going to translate it a little bit. But before I do that, I want to skip down. You'll see section B. The verse numberings are a little bit off because I did the verse numberings according to the Hebrew text, and I made the mistake. I should have corrected it to the English text because they're just one verse off. So at the end of the first sentence there in section B, you'll see verses 1 through 5. It should be 1 through 4. So the first group of verses is verses 1 through 4, then the second one should be verse 8. The third reading should be verse 6 instead of verse 7. Apologize for that. I'll have to get into the computer and correct it. But anyway, everything's off just a verse because of that. But anyway, we'll translate the psalm as follows. Verse 1, save me, O Elohim, Creator God, for the waters have come up to my life principle. Verse 2, I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the depths of waters, and the flowing stream overflows me. I have grown weary with my calling. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, waiting hopefully for my Elohim. Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs of my head. Vast is the number of those who seek to exterminate me, those who vainly are my enemies. That which I did not rob, I am forced to restore. O Elohim, you, emphatic, know my foolishness, and my guilt is not hidden from you. May those who wait for you not be disgraced because of me, O Adonai Yahweh Almighty. May those who seek you not be put to shame because of me, O Elohim of Israel. For I endure scorn for your sake. Insult covers my face. I'm caused to be estranged from my brothers and an alien to my own mother's sons. For the zeal of your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But I, emphatic pronoun, pray to you, O Yahweh, in the time of your favor. O Elohim, in your great loyal love, answer me with your salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the depths of waters. Do not let the flowing stream overflow me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Yahweh, out of the goodness of your loyal love, and your great mercy turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in straits of distress. Come near to my life principle and redeem me on account of my foes. Ransom me. You, emphatic pronoun again, know I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are conspicuously before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar to drink. May the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted, that there be no one to dwell in their tents. For they persecute those you wound and talk about the pains of those you hurt. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. May they be blotted out of the book of, and this would be earthly life, we'll look at that in a little bit, and not be listed with the righteous. I am in pain and distress. May your salvation, O Elohim, protect me. I will praise the name of Elohim in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please Yahweh more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. The afflicted will see and be glad. You will seek Elohim as may your hearts live. For Yahweh hearkens unto the needy and does not despise his captive ones. Let the heavens and the earth praise him, the seas and all that move in them. For Elohim will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. Then people will settle there and possess it. Then the children of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell there. Okay, in this psalm, David claims that many had unjustly charged him with sin, and that so much pressure had been exerted on him that he had been forced to restore what had wrongfully been charged to his debt. Apparently there was a charge that David had wronged somebody by taking something from him. David hadn't taken it from him, but enough people believed it and enough pressure was put on him. The only peaceful way for him to resolve the conflict, or the most peaceful route for him to do, was to repay what he had not taken. So this is a wrong that is built up. I don't know if you've ever faced a kind of wrong like this, but it's really a very difficult thing to face because it's beyond the realm of pain, where people are actually believing that which is not true, and they're thoroughly believing it, and they're coming at you. It's a very difficult situation. Then the fallout of this injustice isolated him even from his relatives, his own mother's sons. So David prayed that innocent people would not be harmed by the effects of the false charge against him. He was probably, this was after David would have been anointed. I don't know if he was a king at this point or not. It might have been before he was a king. But the charges against him were so great that they threatened the welfare of the nation because there were people that were supposed to be following him. And so David was very concerned about that. Well, in this case, all that David could do is appeal to God, who sees all things and who knows the facts, that he might intervene. And what's interesting is that this psalm is heavily cited in the New Testament regarding especially Christ's sufferings. Jesus Christ suffered a lot of these sufferings, and he identified with them. And some of these are prophetic, they look forward. But apparently this was also an experience that David had, because David talks about his faults not being hidden from God. And of course, that would not refer to the Messiah at all, because Jesus was sinless. But just a couple of highlights back here. It's interesting in verse 3, David says, "I have grown weary with my calling, my throat is parched. My eyes fail, waiting hopefully for my Elohim." So there's a long time involved. Not only has this trial been big, but God hasn't come to his rescue over a period of time. So that's a difficult trial, but sometimes the Lord will allow trials to get extended out. And then you'll notice in verse 4, "Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs of my head. Vast is the number of those who seek to exterminate me, those who vainly are my enemy." So you've got a lot of people. It's not just one or two people. You've got maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people are opposed to David, and they're going after him. So it's something we have to keep in mind, that sometimes we get into situations where the wrong is so suffocating and the number of people who believe and who are siding with that which is wrong is so overwhelming, you recognize you're in a state of numbness and you cannot respond effectively. I've been there a couple of times in my life, and it's not a picnic, but it's interesting that, of course, the solution is the Lord. You just have to trust that God has his will in this, and then he's going to handle this. David knew of what sins he was guilty of in verse 5. He says, "O Elohim, you know my foolishness, and my guilt is not hidden from you." See, David is not pretending to be sinless. The problem here is the charge of sin that is against him is not what he's guilty of, and it's way above board. And sometimes the evil one will allow this type of a situation to come up when you've done something a little wrong, but others will charge you with a huge wrong, which is not related at all. And it's designed to get you to adopt an idea of false guilt, because you know you're not completely innocent in this small area, but Satan wants you to adopt that to the big thing, and you get so overwhelmed, you almost get suicidal. There have been times, and this happened recently, I was talking with a person in a counseling situation where the temptation of suicide was there, and I thought, boy, this is dangerous. And that's very typical of Satan. Remember the demoniac who Jesus cast a whole legion of demons out of? He was daily in the tombs, and he was cutting himself. He was cutting himself. That's a suicidal tendency. And he was emotionally distraught as well. So tendencies towards suicide, often that is satanic pressure, and we've got to resist that strong in the faith. That's not what God wants. God never wants a person to kill himself. So we must, and if someone actually comes out and states that, that's a very serious thing. Even their stating it is a very, very dangerous thing, and we need to get them away from that quickly. All right. David indicated in verse 9 he was suffering for righteousness' sake. That's often difficult. "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." And often that is what is behind it. When a person is living a life that is righteous, his life will critique those who are in sin. That's what Jesus said. They've hated me without a cause. They've treated me this way. What do you think they're going to do you? This is in John chapter 15. And Jesus said, if I hadn't come, they would have no sin. In other words, it wouldn't have been identified with sin. But now that I've spoken unto them, they have no shield for their sin. A lot of times people will practice what is called transference, where it's too painful to look at the guilt within themselves because they see your life and it's righteous and they see the guilt within themselves. So in order to live with themselves, they transfer the guilt to you and make the false charge to you. So they can bring you down kind of to their level and then they don't feel as bad about themselves. It's called transference. And that's the type of thing that was going on here as well. Also, I want to touch something about verse 28 where David said, may they be blotted out of the book of life. A lot of people say, wait a minute, does that mean you can lose your salvation? Because you have in Revelation chapter 20, the Lamb's book of life. Whosoever was not found in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can God then blot my name out of the book of life? There were two books of life. There's at least two books of life. The first book is the book of earthly life. And I put down here Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. Moses spoke of this when Israel had sinned. And Exodus 23, verse 23. Sorry, I said 32. I should be 23. It's Exodus 32, but verse 23. I'm going to get this right eventually. Exodus 32, verse 23. Moses is talking to the Lord, and he says, for they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And what did I do here? I still messed it. It should be verse 32. Exodus 32, 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And Moses requested that God would blot him out of his book. That's the book of the physically living. Dr. Ryrie in his footnote says, this is a register of the physically living. To be blotted out meant to experience an untimely death. By contrast, the New Testament book of life is the book of eternal life. It's the register of those who have eternal life. Once we are written in the book of eternal life, we're not blotted out of that. That's forever. But the earthly life, we all are written into it. Apparently there's a book of earthly life. And then when it's time for us to die, then we're blotted out because our name doesn't appear on the register. And to have it blotted out prematurely is something that is a loss of blessing, because in this life, even though we're living in mortal bodies, what you want to do is to live a long life. And that is seen, a long life is seen as a blessing from the Lord, even though this life is temporal. So I don't want you to get mixed up here. When he says, may they be blotted out of the book of life, he's talking about the blot of earthly life, not of eternal life. Eternal life is an entirely different situation. Once you have eternal life, you have it eternally. And that's the only thing. That's why we live forever. We've already passed from death unto life, according to John chapter 5, verse 24. So the lesson is, when he was so greatly wrong that he could not himself deal with the wrong, David appealed to God for divine intervention, exampling for us how to handle similar crises in our lives. Now, just before I turn it over to you, I want to look at a verse in 1 Peter, which is very helpful in regards to suffering, especially unjust suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. And the suffering in the context is suffering as a Christian back in verse 16. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. See, when we suffer for righteousness' sake, it's within the will of God. If we suffer according to the will of God, we need to commit the preserving of our souls. The word psuche is word for souls. Or this is not the soul in regards to your salvation status. The psuche is we get the word psychology from it, your psyche. That's the keeping of your physical, of your earthly life, which is fragile, that can be hurt.
the keeping of your suke unto him in well-doing as unto a reliable creator. See, God the creator knows how much you and I can take just from our human standpoint. He knows where we can be broken and so forth, and he has a perfect will in it. I heard one time of a woman in China who had been horribly persecuted by the communists for her faith, her Christian faith, to the point where they broke her mind, right? And it didn't come back. But every time a Christian would greet her in the name of Christ, her face, which was normally fallen and somber, would very briefly smile and then boom, plop back. So way deep inside, there was a heart that loved the Lord, but the mind and the psyche had been so broken that she couldn't sustain that smile. And so it went away. So, but they loved to greet her because all of a sudden this face would light up and then boom, plop back because of the effects of the persecution. But it became a tremendous embarrassment to the communists because they knew they had broken her as far as her human ability and psyche was concerned, but they couldn't hold down. There was something within that was much deeper that they could not break, and it became a testimony of the presence of the Spirit of God within her. So there's a purpose. If God allows something, if God forbid that that should happen, but let's say the Lord allows you to go through that experience, it will still be for the glory of God because he knows exactly what we can and what we cannot take, and he will accomplish his will in regards to our lives. So when David was so greatly wronged that he could not hide himself, could not himself deal with the wrong, David appealed to God for divine intervention, exampling for us how to handle similar crises in our lives. Okay, we'll turn it over to you. If you had some questions or feedback on the lesson, feel free to go at it. If there's something else that has come up, we'll do our best to address it from the Word of God.